If you've been tracking with us, you'll know that today we are in the Sermon on the Mount. We are like those disciples of Jesus gathered on the mountainside, and Jesus is talking to us. And today's passage, I believe, is the golden nugget of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read it to us now. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, they receive. The one who seeks, they find. And to the one who knocks, the door, it will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for fish or for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do for you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. As I said, if you've been journeying with us, you would have been here last Sunday, and Jeff spoke to us about being generous toward others in our assessments of them. And I'll actually just read that for us now, just to refresh us. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the while there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and tear you to pieces. We were told to give the benefit of the doubt, to examine ourselves before we pick out something in our brother or our sister. Suddenly, though, if you're tracking with me, doesn't the text take a strange turn? We open up chapter 7 and we're being told not to judge, or if we are to judge, just to be very careful. We're being told not to throw our pearls before pigs. And suddenly it turns to ask, seek, knock. Why? Why here? How does this connect to those verses? Whenever I've read this passage, I've read it through and I've thought, I have no idea how these connect, but Jesus tells me to ask right now. And then I think about the asking and seeking and knocking, and I wonder how well I'm even doing with that. But how does it connect? And then it baffles me even more, because you get to the end of that, ask, seek, knock, and it says, so, isn't that a connector to something ahead or before? So, in everything you do, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's the golden rule, is it not? The golden rule. If you go after that golden rule, you'll find that Jesus actually wraps up the Sermon on the Mount. He starts to talk about different paths, different kinds of people, and he wraps it up. As a matter of fact, this is our second to last sermon on the Sermon on the Mount. Next week is the kids, and the one after, Caleb wraps this up for us. Remember I gave a clue maybe? Speaking of pearls, I think this is the pearl of the Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever tried to live out the Sermon on the Mount? I hope somebody's raising their hand right now. Have you ever tried to live out the Sermon on the Mount? Is it easy? It's not easy. It's not easy at all. Have you ever tried dealing with conflict? Is it easy? Have you ever thought about this instruction Jesus says about how we treat each other? Do not judge, or you too will be judged. The same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Have you ever thought about having to talk to someone about some action that they did that is not good, and you've realized that you need to look inside of yourself first, but then even then, that conversation with that person is exceedingly difficult? Anybody ever experienced that? Some people in here have experienced that. You see, I believe that this is a clue right here. Ask, seek, knock. Because I think that we could take the Sermon on the Mount, all these rules that Jesus gives us, and sometimes we might woodenly move into a situation to solve it with someone else, and we make it worse than it already was. We kind of compare verses and we're like, well, the Bible says I need to do this. Then you go do it and everything blows up in your face. Ask, seek, knock. You know that in Luke, this same passage says that when you ask and you seek and you knock, the Heavenly Father, He wants to give you really good gifts. How does this connect? Anybody tracking with me how this might connect? I believe it's this. When we start reading the Sermon on the Mount and we start trying to live it out, and especially when we come to chapter 7, verse 1, when we're told not to judge, and we're told about pearls and pigs, and there's this incredibly difficult passage about relationships with others and how those are meant to work out, we're told in this verse, you, each one of you, you and me, we have the help of God. Ask, seek, find. Now, I know that diving into this passage, I don't have much time this morning. This passage deserves multiple sermons, probably. And I only have half the sermon today because Pastor Nathan's coming up after me. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. Keep on asking, says the NLT, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Why those three verbs? Ask, seek, and knock. I think of it like this, that to ask, we're reminded that we're the children of the Father. We're to ask, just like we would, when we're kids, we ask our parents something. We are the children of the Father. We have the opportunity to ask. We seek. We pray for that help to live out the Sermon on the Mount, to live out Matthew chapter 7. And as we seek, we respond. We're willing to receive input from other mentors in our life. Help. We're seeking. We're asking. We're seeking. And we're knocking. We persevere. In the scriptures, I probably won't read it for lack of time, but if you were to go to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, there's this amazing, similar passage to this one. And it talks about this friend that comes at night and is knocking and is saying, hey, I need something. You know, I've got guests, and it's the middle of the night, and the guy inside says, I can't get up, I can't help you, because, you know, I'm with my kids in bed, with my family in bed. And the guy keeps knocking. And eventually, because of persistence, he gets what he needs from his friend. There seems to be a sense in which that knocking, is persistence in God's kingdom. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. Because you know those people that ask, those people that seek, those people that knock? Listen, you're going to receive. You're going to find. And the door, it's going to be open to you. You think of those difficult relationships. You think about living out the Sermon on the Mount. Do you think you need help with that? Possibly. Any chance that you might need help with that? Listen, we're going to receive help from our Heavenly Father. I mean, it makes me think of some of the most difficult, even relational experiences I've had to deal with. I'm convinced that prayer made a difference in those situations. And I'm convinced that maybe even if I had spent more time seeking God, some other difficult relational experiences in my life maybe could have gone a little bit better. And I think I've alluded to this already, but as I pondered this and thought about this, I began to wonder, what if this little passage of scripture, ask, seek, and knock, is the secret to the entire Sermon on the Mount? Not just difficult relationships. I mean, we've been told to be perfect, have we not? To be complete and whole. To let our light shine. To live without anger. To live in purity. To love our enemies. To pray and fast in secret. To store up treasures in heaven. So, maybe we should ask. Maybe we should seek. Maybe we should knock. Because which of you, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you've been imperfect and flawed and sons and daughters of Adam and Eve with a flawed nature, if you're evil, if you know how to give a good gift, how much more your heavenly Father, who's perfect in every single way, is going to pour out amazing gifts on you. Give good gifts to those who ask him. Now, I knew I was going to have to preach about this sermon or this text. And as I turn to ask, seek, and knock, I also, and maybe you're like me, think of things like, what about the fires raging up north? What about the war in Israel and Iran? What about the struggles of my family? What about the people even here at our church that we prayed for healing for and they're not healed right now? Why the inward struggles with myself? Why? If I have a heavenly Father who, when I ask, he says he's going to give it to me, and I seek, I'll find. Why? Then why? It makes me think back to earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is very aware that of the world that you and I live in, is he not? When he came to this earth, he lived in the same kind of world as you and I. But somehow in the midst of that, when he talked about anxiety, did he talk about the fact that we have a good heavenly Father who wants to care for us? Yes, he did. Was Jesus immune to the suffering of this world? No. So somehow in the midst of where you and I live, the goodness and generosity of God is possible. It's there. Your heavenly Father, he wants to give you good gifts. And so I began to study the Bible. I began to wonder if I was missing something in the asking and the seeking, the knocking. And I began to read more in the Bible. And the more I read, the more I discovered that, listen, there is this dramatic, clear place where God wants to give us good gifts. I haven't even touched on what those gifts are. You'll do greater things than me, Jesus says. You know, the lame will walk, the blind will see. There's this radical way in which we are told Jesus will do all kinds of things through us. But this week, it didn't seem that way for me. My responsibilities piled up. I'm very busy at Northwind. I'm wrapping up there before I start July 1st full-time here. And I noticed that my well-being, it was declining. It's a season where I've been caring a lot. Lots of trials without, lots of trials within. And now I had to preach on this. Ask, seek, and find. And as I thought about this, I felt as though God was asking something of me, was calling me. So early Wednesday morning, I got up a little earlier than normal, 6 a.m. And I sat on the couch in my usual place. Only this time, something had shifted in me because of what I had been studying. Ask, seek, and knock. Because of a book I had been listening to on prayer. And I came expectantly. This time, I came with my palms open like this, my feet just settled comfortably on the floor. And I said, here I am, Jesus. I need to hear from you. I was asking. I was seeking. I was knocking. And what I can tell you, what happened Wednesday morning was an answer to this verse here. You see, my heart, it was crying out. It was yearning for answered prayers, for help and all the things that I had going. But even something greater than that happened to me on Wednesday morning. I was met with the presence of Jesus, with the presence of Christ. And so I got out my journal and wrote down every burden, every struggle, and his voice calmed that storm on Wednesday morning. You know, not every prayer was answered, not even close. But I was met with something even greater on Wednesday morning. I was met with the closeness of Jesus. You know what the major theme was as I sat there Wednesday morning and I journaled and I wrote and I held my hands open and I just was silent before God? You know the major thing that I heard that morning? Jeremy, you are my son. Let me tell you, when that's just not a mental thing in your head, but it moves from your head to your heart, that will change your day. That will change the unanswered prayers. That will change everything. And then from there, I moved to the floor and I cried because Jesus was in the room with me. No longer was I just getting up to do devotions out of duty, to open my Bible and try to understand something out of it. No, Jesus had come to me and he had changed me in that moment. See, for a lot of us, it's hard to follow Jesus, is it not? Not every day when we get up at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. does something amazing happen to us. But Jesus is saying something to us. I want you to ask. I want you to seek. I want you to find. I wish I had more time. But as you reflect on the Sermon on the Mount and you think about how will you treat your brother or sister well? How will you live with integrity, with purity, with kindness? How will you treasure things in heaven? How will your anxiety decrease over the cares and worries you have about your possessions? How will you avoid being harsh and judgmental? And it begins here, 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning, when you begin to ask and you begin to seek and you begin to knock. Because Jesus is there. Today, and maybe for the rest of this week, you and I can leave today knowing that we have the invitation to connect with Jesus, to know Jesus, to be found by Jesus, to bring our requests and our desires. Why? Because we have a good Heavenly Father. We are His sons and His daughters, and He wants to answer our prayers. And so I was thinking about us as a community, thinking of the person you're sitting beside, thinking of, as I go through my week and I think of you guys and I pray for you guys, imagine us as a community of Jesus followers. We arrive at church expectant on Sunday because God is here. Jesus is here. What if as I think about you, and I know that you're driving to work or you're driving home, I think of you like the 6 a.m. Wednesday with your hand open to God, silently whispering Jesus' name, asking him, seeking for him, knocking. As we run on the treadmills and get our workouts in, that we're silently whispering prayers to our Heavenly Father who loves us more than we'll ever know. As we tuck our toddlers and our infants to bed, that we're whispering Jesus' name over them. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking for their futures. And remembering that maybe God is also calling us to get up a couple minutes early sometimes. Because we get to meet with Jesus. We get to ask him and seek him and find him. And I wonder if as we do that, if we won't see more and more prayers answered. Things that we didn't ever think were possible. I'm going to call Nathan up at this time. And he's going to share with us some of his own journey with this very verse. The ways in which God has answered these askings and these seekings and these knockings. Do you think it's possible that as we do this, we might see God do amazing things in our own hearts, amazing things in our families, amazing things in this church, amazing things in Thunder Bay, amazing things in the north. You think that's possible? You think that as we get up and we seek time intimately with Jesus, we come expectantly to church that God might do something amazing among us? I think it's possible. I think it is possible. Let's ask, let's seek, let's knock.
Amen. Well, that's a good word. And I just, Jeremy and I have a wager of who can go longer. I'm joking. I'm joking. I just want to share something that's a little bit on the briefer side. And when I knew that I was going to be in the city, I was like, oh, I've got to come and be here at TC. I'm just so encouraged at what God is doing here in this community and through this church. And it is really encouraging, by the way, to see all of these familiar faces. I told a few of you on the way in, I'm not shaking hands today. I'm just hugging people because I'm just so excited to see everybody, and it's really neat to be back. And so Vicky and I are here. We didn't bring the whole clan, just because we'd have to get a second mortgage to do that. And so it was just Vicky and I coming to see Malachi's graduation. And it's been really great to be here. And I will just tell you that Thunder Bay will always hold a really special place in my heart. And I mean that. Like, there's just often days where Vicky and I reminisce and think about what Thunder Bay has meant and still means to us. And it is really incredible to be back here. And I want to tell just a story that is specific to TC, but also specific to Jeremy and to this passage of scripture that Jeremy's reading. It's really neat that I get to be here today. But in a general sense, I just want to say, I think Jeremy hit the nail on the head. The emphasis of this is ask, seek, knock. And so Matthew has a version of this that's just a little bit different than Luke's version. And I think Matthew hints at it, and Luke kind of just hits it out of the park. So in Matthew's version of this, and so, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're all telling the same story from a different perspective. And in Matthew's version, he's saying, ask, seek, knock. And so Jesus, he's showing us Jesus' words, which is saying, ask. Like, the things that you long for, the things that you desire, ask for them. So we're encouraged to ask for God to do things in prayer. I'm here to celebrate my son's graduation. I have a lot of desires in my heart for my son. My wife and I, as most of you know, we have 6 kids. I have tons of desires for my kids. I have tons of desires for you. I want to see God do things in your life. And so sometimes when I go to prayer, I get overwhelmed because I know that this word is true. What Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. It is important to ask God because God can give the things that you ask for. But what Matthew hints at and Luke kind of hits out of the park is, do you know what the thing that we're really asking for is God? Like, Luke says it very clearly. You get to the end of this same passage in Luke, and he says, and it almost seems like Jesus takes a U-turn, where he's talking about asking, seeking, knocking, being persistent, asking for things in prayer. And then he says, of course, God will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. Like, the deeper longing of our heart is for God himself. All of the things that we ask for. So I think about my kids. I told you there's lots of things I want to see happen in my kids' lives. But you know, at the core of it, I just want my kids to know Jesus. Like, I know that if they have Jesus, if they're in a relationship with him, if they're in this trusting relationship with Jesus, they've got everything. So there's all these things that we ask for. Yeah, we want to experience healing. We want maybe a better job, or we want a job, or we want a better place to live, or a place to live. And Jesus says, ask for those things. All the things that you desire, ask for. The book Jeremy referenced, I'm reading the same one. It's a book on prayer, and it's profound. And he said, it's even okay to pray for a parking spot, as selfish as that seems. You know, there's like chaos in the world. And we've all done it. You know, you pull into you're looking for a parking space, and you're like, oh, Lord, I just pray that you'd give me a parking spot at this place. And it just seems selfish and frivolous. This book on prayer, he points out, he's like, it's actually good. God wants you to ask him about all these things. But at the base, at the root of it, what we're really longing for is God himself. Isn't it? There is nothing better than just God himself. And Luke says that very clearly. If you read this passage in Luke, he says, how much more will God give you the Holy Spirit? There's nothing better than having the presence of the Holy Spirit that is with us through everything, through every trial, through every challenge, through every difficulty. There's nothing better. And so the specific thing, it's really cool that I get to be here today. I wanted to come and celebrate the fact that Jeremy was voted in as the new lead pastor. My wife and I, and only four of our kids, when we came here, we only had four. We had two more after getting here, kind of completed our family ensemble. So in 2017, when we first moved here, we prayed a lot for this place. It was just really neat to walk through this building again and just to like remember all of the things that happened, all of the development, all of the people that came around and what God did. But you know, early on, and this is a true story, I pray a lot of general prayers because sometimes I get overwhelmed. I'm like, I don't know what to pray for specifically. So when I don't know what to pray, I just say, God, may your will be done. So I pray a lot of general prayers. I think specifics are good. But one of the very specific prayers I prayed for, and I can't think of anybody else I did this for, was for Jeremy. So early on, before Vicky and I moved close to here, we used to live in PA, and we were in the early stages of planting Transformation Church. And I had, Jeremy had come in the very early days before we launched, and he actually did all kinds of work on the stage and in the building and all kinds of involvement. But he went back to New Brunswick, and I just had this really strong sense that Jeremy was supposed to be here. And at the time, I had no plans of leaving. Like I was still, we still had years ahead of us here, but I just had this really strong sense Jeremy's supposed to be here in Thunder Bay. I didn't realize I was praying in agreement with Alyssa at the time. So, but I just had this really strong sense, like he's supposed to be here. And I remember pacing in my basement when we lived in PA before we bought our house. We were still renting at the time. And I remember pacing and praying specifically for Jeremy by name. Lord, you need to bring him here. I just feel like Jeremy's supposed to be here. And so I prayed that way, which was I just say it's an unselfish prayer because when Jeremy went back home, he left his car here. So I had two cars and it was free. I was using Jeremy's car for free. So if Jeremy comes back, I was going to lose this free car, right? Because he had left it here. And so, it was hard to pray that prayer because I'm like, if Lord answers it, I'm going to lose my little Honda that I loved. So, but I just remember praying very specifically, Lord, I really believe that Jeremy's supposed to be here. Anyway, so we went on and we were here for years. And then when I started sensing that the Lord was moving us back east, which, as most of you know, was a really challenging season for us, I'll just tell you, I shed many tears. And I was looking back through pictures recently of when Vicky and I moved away from here, and there's one where she snapped a picture of me, and I was just bawling. I was reading letters that you guys had given me and just thinking about all the times that we had, like, It was really challenging for us to respond to this call and to go back east. But before, like in the early stages of when God was starting to move my heart and call us back east, I just had this really strong sense that Jeremy was supposed to step into leadership here. So I told him that, and he didn't agree. He was like, no, I don't think that I am. And so I tried everything that I could to try to manipulate him and try to persuade him. But Jeremy just did not. Jeremy will not. I'll just tell you this about Jeremy. Unless he knows something is of the Lord, he won't move ahead with it. Like unless he has a sense of peace, unless he has a sense that this is, something that the Lord wants him to do, he won't do it. And I respect that more than you will ever know. Jeremy's a unique person. And I'm not just saying that he's a unique person in that he's the real deal. He loves the Lord. He's a man of integrity. So he didn't want to. And so in the interim, thankfully, we had Caleb up here, which just has a new baby. It was really cool visiting with Caleb and Rachel. Caleb and Jean and Jeremy stepped in as interim lead pastors here. But I was just praying that the Lord would move on Jeremy's heart, to step into the lead role. And then where the story gets interesting is, at one point, there were two candidates. There was two possibilities of people. And I just have to tell you this. You need to know. I was this close. I think I've only told this to Gary. But I almost wrote a letter to the board of here, TC. So this was just a couple months ago. I wanted to write a letter and just say, listen, I wanted to just weigh in and just say, hey, for what it's worth, I just have a strong sense that Jeremy's the one the Lord's calling. You should move in that direction. You should put that before the church. But then I had this strong sense of Nathan, you're not the guy calling the shots anymore. You left, right? Sometimes the Lord tells you stuff like that. You're in Halifax, right? You can't just be trying to influence, unless it's my will for you to do so. I just had this really, it was just no, it wasn't the time to do that. I felt like I needed to just leave this with the Lord. So I prayed. Again, it's this specific prayer. Ask, seek, knock. And so my prayer at that time was, Lord, I believe that Jeremy's supposed to be the one that steps into the lead role, but I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to leave that between you and the board and the congregation and TC. And so I did, which was challenging, which was hard to do. But when I got word that the board settled on Jeremy and they put him before you for a vote and the vote went through, it was just such a confirmation to me where I was like, man, God is at work in a really significant way. And it was an answer to prayer. And so I just want to say as a testimony, for what it's worth, it was like specifically this passage, ask, seek, knock, that like we are called to do that. And sometimes when we're asking, seeking, knocking, we just have to put ourselves in a place where we're trusting God. We just have to say, Lord, I'm asking you for this, but ultimately I want your will to be done. And that was what I had been praying for specifically for TC. And so I am elated. And I just want to also say about Jeremy, I've known Jeremy for a long time. And there are very few people that are quite like Jeremy in the way that he lives for the Lord, in the way that he has a sincere faith in Jesus. If you get around Jeremy long enough, he will, in humility, often point to, he's like, well, I'm not as experienced as some, or what. Like, what Jeremy has as a leader, as a follower of Jesus is incredible. I know a lot of pastors. I know a lot of people in ministry. Jeremy is a man of integrity. He follows the Lord in such a way that it's not only admirable, I think it challenges those around him to follow Jesus in that way. And one of the things that I know we're not supposed to just fluff up people because it's Jesus who we follow. It's not Jeremy. It's not me. It's not another man or another woman. It's Jesus. But I believe God raises up leaders for specific times, for a specific purpose. And I just want to say that, in the way that Jeremy loves Jesus and follows him, and in the way that he leads, I believe it's going to have an impact on this church and on this city in the days to come. I believe that with all my heart. Even being back here today has been deeply encouraging for me. I have a friend that I made in Halifax, and he's in his early 40s, but he's single, so he has a little bit more time than most people do. And this guy spends 2.5 to 3 hours a day in prayer, like all the time, just consistently, 2.5 to 3 hours a day praying. And so I picked this young guy up on my way to prayer on Wednesday mornings. We have an early morning prayer time. And I've noticed about my friend, his name is Aaron, that there's lots of times where we're in a prayer circle and he's not praying. And more than almost anybody I know, this guy prays. Like, there's probably not many of us in the room that consistently spend 2.5 to 3 hours a day in an extended time just praying. So he's often silent when people are praying. And he told me recently, he said, he loves listening to other people pray. Like, it deepens his faith when he hears the faith of others, when he hears how people see Jesus, when he hears about what God is doing in their lives. And I couldn't get Aaron out of my mind this morning as I was downstairs in pre-service prayer, and just as I'm here with you now worshiping, because I think I'm experiencing a little bit of what he's described to me, where I'm seeing your faith. And there's some of you that are in this room that, you know, I've known you for a long time, and I've seen your journey. And coming back after having been gone only a year, I'm just seeing God at work in your life in an absolutely undeniable way. I'm seeing God moving you in the direction towards him, and you're growing in your faith, and you're maturing, and you're developing. Like, it's incredible. And it's like, I just want you to know, it encourages me in such a deep way. And so, just to get back to this, Jeremy and I, the way we're going to end this is we're going to pray together. But I want to give a challenge to you, because I think we need this challenge over and over again. I think we get away from praying. I think we get away from asking, seeking, knocking. And if that is you, if you've gotten away from going to God and just praying, I want to encourage you to build that practice back into your life. And just as a way to pray, if sometimes you don't know how, I often tell people this, when you are thinking about somebody or you're thinking about your life, if you don't have a specific thing that you can think of to pray for, just get used to saying, Lord, may your will be done. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I want you. I think it's very important to pray specific prayers, like I prayed for Jeremy, like I prayed for TC. But I think a lot of times we don't even have words. And in those moments where you don't have words, I just want to encourage you to, on a regular basis, Lord, your will be done. I know your will is better than mine. I know that the end result is better when you're in charge than when I'm in charge. So Lord, may your will be done. And build that as a rhythm and see what God will do. So Jeremy, why don't we come up and we'll just pray. I'd like to pray, and then you can close in prayer. And I just want to pray for you as a congregation. I believe God really is up to stuff, and I believe he's got some incredible things that are in store for this community, this church, and I just want to pray along those lines. Lord, I just want to thank you for this incredible passage of Scripture. Jesus, we get to hear your words. We're thankful that Matthew recorded it. We're thankful that Luke recorded what you said regarding prayer. And so, Lord, specifically, I want to pray for TC. I thank you for every person who's a part of this community of Jesus followers, even for those that aren't in the room right now. I just pray, Lord, that you would do a deep and a profound work in the hearts of the people here. And that, Lord, you'd reveal yourself to them in a deep and a profound way. I pray for this upcoming fundraiser or whatever is going to happen for the elevator that needs to be installed. I just pray, Lord, that you would provide all that is needed for that. And Lord, I pray that the community here would grow. Lord, we read about how the community of Jesus followers is described in Acts. And as they met together, as they celebrated the Lord's Supper, as they provided for each other's needs, you added people to their number daily. I pray, Lord, for lots of people in Thunder Bay that are maybe encountering you or their thoughts are being turned towards you, but they're not a part of a church yet. I pray that you draw them in, Lord, and that they'd be a part of this thriving community of Jesus followers that would have an impact on the city of Thunder Bay in a tangible and practical way. Draw people in, we pray, Lord. Lord, I do agree with Jeremy. I pray for healing. I pray for people that are here that need healing in some way. I pray that we would see more of that happen. Jesus, we know that you are the healer, that you are the physician. And as we look to you for these things, Lord, we pray that we'd see more of it happen. And Lord, I pray for my brother. I thank you so much for Jeremy. I thank you that he listens to you, listens to how you're leading. He doesn't jump to decisions quickly because he wants to be led by your Spirit. I thank you for the example that is to all of us. And Lord, as he has said yes to stepping into the pastoral role here, I pray that all of those that are involved in TC would support Jeremy, would just come alongside, would pray for Jeremy, would pray for the community here. And I pray that as Jeremy gives leadership to this thriving community of Jesus followers, that Lord, they would on a regular, continual basis experience your presence in an undeniable way. God, we thank you for all the ways in which you've moved. And Lord, I believe that the best is yet to come. I believe there's some incredible days ahead. And I just pray, Lord, that you just give Jeremy confidence. And I pray that as a community of Jesus followers, Lord, this doesn't revolve around Jeremy, it revolves around you. And so as he gives leadership, Lord, I pray that everything would increasingly revolve around you, and that as a community, TC would encounter your presence in an undeniable way. We love you, God, in Jesus' name.
The worship team can come up at this time, and I'm going to pray as well. Jesus, you're the one that calls us to yourself. You've given us this Sermon on the Mount. You've taught us so many things, and you've left us with this instruction to do to others as you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. We often call this the golden rule, Lord, but this isn't just a rule. It's not one more thing to score on a card, not another A+. This is about a relationship with you. And so, Jesus, I just pray for every person here, those of us that have known this sermon for a long time, those of us that are new to it, those of us that have done a lot of asking and seeking, but maybe we've grown weary of it. Those of us that have not asked, Lord, I pray that today and over this next week and into the weeks beyond, we would experience the friendship with God, the closeness with God that is possible through Jesus Christ. Lord, you told us that unless our righteousness surpasses that of the righteousness of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But Lord, because you've invited us to closeness with you, because you have called us into relationship with you, and we are your sons and daughters, we have righteousness because of Jesus. We have strength to live this sermon out. Come to us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. I just want to say for those of you who feel tired today, I've done a lot of asking and seeking. I just, even as the worship begins, I would invite you, even if you want to come forward for prayer, to feel free to do that. If you're new to this whole Jesus thing and you haven't asked him for anything, my invitation to you today would be to ask Jesus to come to you, to surrender yourself, to hand yourself over to the creator of the universe, the one that made you, the one that loves you, the one who wants to forgive you, give you a new start in life. And I would invite you, even as the worship ends today, to seek one of us out, to come forward if you like, come talk to us after. Lord, we lift ourselves up to you, and maybe as we finish, you all could just pray with me the Lord's Prayer, which will be on the screen behind me. Pray like this. Let me say this together. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. In Jesus' name, amen.